Torah in Northwest London, Tuesday, Yud Gimel Shvat, 26th of January, Harav Sholem Segal Shlita, on Zekeli Vanvehu, the Hidur of a Megillah. Approximately.
Okay, good morning. Our topic this morning is Zekeli Vanvehu, what makes a Megillah, as in Megillah Sester, what makes it Mehudah? We're just over 30 days, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, just over 30 days before the Yom Tov HaPurim. And understandably, this topic is not one that you can leave closer to the time, because anyone who's looking to get a Megillah written, it's more or less now is coming towards the deadline. Sofrim can't write much quicker than that. So what I want to speak about today is three main nekudas in terms of what makes a Megillah Mehudah. Some of it dispelling some myths, some of it just providing clarification on one or two things you see very often people write about. I don't feel that they give the full picture. Being involved a little bit in the world of Stam, giving Shirim on Stam, you can see that there's a lot of confusion. So let me begin with the first thing, which for a lot of people I'm not going to make myself very popular saying this, but that is the Hamelech Megillahs. This is probably the biggest myth in terms of Megillas Esther. People go along to Socher and they say to him, can we have a Hamelech Megillah? Yeah, that's what we hear. Hamelech, this is what we're looking for. Now the Socher, being a good Socher, being a good salesman, he says, of course. He goes and takes it out. He says, for that hiddur, that'll be an extra £300. You should be saying to him, no, £300 more or £300 less. Because the Hamelech Megillah, Bederech Kalal, not always, but Bederech Kalal is a far less Mehudah Megillah. Let me explain to you why. This is not a new phenomenon. If you look at our Sifrei Torah today, you'll notice that at the top of Kimat, every single column, it begins with a Vav. It's what we call the Vavei Ho'amudim. The Sifrei Torah are written every single column with exception of five, because Shemai, the last one being a vav, so we'll take that one out. So you've got five. Understandably, Bereishis can't begin with a vav, right? It begins with a base. So with exception of that, they all begin with a vav. Now, there are definitely inyonim in sort of our Peter's Nistar, there are inyonim in this. The Chidor brings it. Nonetheless, going all the way back to the later Rishonim and early Acharonim, they decry this minhag and they say you should put a stop to it. Why?
The Vav.
The reason being because this becomes the focal point when designing my Sefer Torah. This becomes the focal point and everything is built around it. Now as a result of that, to get the Vav in the right place, you have to make columns wider, some columns narrower, you've got to stretch writing, you've got to squish writing. So what is a real hiddur has become sort of put to the side and the Vav takes the center stage. They say, put a stop to it. Already in the times of the Keses, that's later on, the Keses HaSofer, that's Rabbi Shlomo Ganzfried, he writes there that there was somebody called Rabbi Yehuda Pisa, who came out with a ticket, and he claimed he'd made the template. If you follow this, you won't have to stretch anything, it's perfect. So he opened it up. He says, the first column, the very first column, the end of it, it's stretched. He says we have to put a stop to it. In Keses, he writes, he brings from the Ibn Yonah, that even a Sofer who can do it, shouldn't do it, because other Sofer will copy, and they can't do it. Now, with the Vavei Amudim, yes, today we do it. That's because we do have a template that every single Sofer can, and most Sofer do follow today. Most use the Tikkun of Rav Nachum Davidovich. He was the Avi HaSoferim of our generation. It was Nifta just a couple of years ago, two, 3 years ago. And there, he's done an unbelievable job. The Aruch HaShulchan already before Rabbi Nachum Davidovich writes that today we are capable of doing it. But it's really a case of deja vu. You come back to the Hamelech, and it's exactly the same thing again. Where's the Makar for it? Keep searching. There is no Makar for such a thing. It's a man-made, well, seemingly man-made hiddur. The only place you'll find it mentioned, more or less, is the Kol Yaakov. The Kol Yaakov is better known as the Kaf HaChayim. He wrote a sefer on the simonim of Shulchan Aruch dealing with Safras called Kol Yaakov. And in there, in Tof Reish Sadi Aleph, in Aruch Chaim, he mentions that in Baghdad, they had this minhag to make at the top of most columns HaMelech. But he himself mentions there, Don't do it unless you can ensure you're following a template that will mean, yeah, you won't have to stretch words, squish words. And the Metzias is today mainly in 11 line of Megillas, because you've got some 38 columns there. The Metzias is, one column is has to be wider, next column narrower. Next one even narrower than that, then back to wide. There's the uniformity there just doesn't exist. Okay, so Bederach Kalal, Rabbi Nachum Davidovich wrote about this as well. He said, don't do it. Right, if you're getting the slightly bigger Megillas, in other words, not 11 liner, already it becomes more doable. But with 38 columns to try and fit in, not every single one, by the way, begins with Hamerech, later on it doesn't. But it's kimat impossible to do it in a way that keeps the hiddur in terms of the build of the Megillah. That's point number one. Point number two, but anyway, before I go further, anyone who does have a Hamerech Megillah, that's why the shir is called Zer Keli Ba'amdehu. We are discussing today the hiddur. It's very, very difficult to make a Megillas Esther possible. It's pretty difficult to do it. It's not impossible, but it does not, we are not, no Megillah. If I say a Hamelech, you go home, you check, yeah, you've got a Hamelech Megillah. It could be one of those which is done beautifully, right? And even if not, it does not make it possible. The next Inyan is perhaps the biggest Inyan we want to speak about today. And this I wouldn't call the spelling myths, but this is just to give some clarity, something which you may see every year or two, somebody comes out with an article on it, but again, I don't think they give over the full picture. And that is the story behind the 11 liner Megillah. Quite correctly, they say although people attribute it to the Vilna Gaon, it has very little to do with the Vilna Gaon. Yes, the Vilna Gaon never had an 11 liner Megillah, very possibly never saw an 11 liner Megillah in his life. The Vilna Gaon had a 42 or 48 liner Megillah, it's almost guaranteed. So what's the story behind the 11 liner? It's like this. The Yerushalmi says that when you come to the Aseres B'nei Homon, so the word Ish, as in Chamesh Meos Ish, Ish is supposed to be Beresh Dapo. At the head, I'll translate it that way, the head of the column. Then it says Ve'es, as in you got Parshat Doso, Ve'es, Dalfo, and Ve'es. The word Ve'es should be Besofo, at the end. And then it's added in the, I think it's the Masechah Soferim, it adds that Aseres should be Besof. Right, the word Aseres. So essentially, this is commonly understood, or in the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, and many Rishonim, misunderstood, to mean that essentially the Aseres B'nei Homon should have a column of their own. Because then you'll have Ish at the top, Hamesh Meos Ish, then the Ace, Parashan Dosa, you go all the way down the names, and then you come to the last one, and then Vayez Dosa, and then Aseres. The last word is going to be Aseres. So it's 11 lines in a column. Says the Vilna Gaon, it's a mistake. And he says that mistake has led to a major mistake. And that is because if you've got a 42, a 48 line in Megillah, or even less than that, how are you going to do this? You've got 11 lines to fit into the equivalent of, let's say, 42 lines. Now, to do it in normal size writing, that means you'll have a name, whatever name it may be, Dalfon, you'll have to leave about 3 lines gap and then go to the next one. Your Megillah, actually, I said before, it's pretty difficult to make it possible. Your Megillah would then more or less be possible. Having such a gap makes it possible. It's called making a parasha where you shouldn't. There's a bach to rely upon, but Lamaisa, you're running into major problems with that. So what do we have to do? You've all seen it. What do? You make the writing much, much bigger, says the Gaon. But we know we have a Masorah for what's called, which osir should be an os rabosi. Which letters in, not only in the Torah, but in Tanakh, in the whole of Nach, which letters should be made big? Right, we know we've got notes there, you've got a big nun there, certain letters, Belev Kosar, Vayikra, which letters should be small? He says, not in a single Masorah we have, does it mention there, that the Aseres B'nei Homon should be done in bigger writing. And if you're doing it the way you're describing it, making a column on its own, it's inevitable you're going to have to make the writing bigger, there's no other way of doing it. So therefore the Vilna Gaon says it's a misunderstanding. The Peshat in Yerushalmi is that the word Ish should be Beresh Dapo means at the beginning of a line. And the word Ve'es should be at the end of the line. So therefore the Gaon says, but it should be in a column together with the rest of that column. Initially the Gaon held at the top of the Omud, and then the writing, the rest of the next 31 lines or so should be just normal writing below it. And then later on, I think Reb Chaim Volozhin brings that the Gaon retracted, and he said it should be the other way around. It should be at the bottom of the column, so that the word Aseres, at least, should be at the end of the column. That, he was masking to, Aseres should be mamash at the bottom of the column. So, Ad Hayom Hazeh, Chabad, I believe Chabad do it at the top. But we, Taka, we don't do this. We don't do it. We'll come to that, Bezaz Hashem, soon. But the Gaon said that's the way you should do it. And through that, the writing doesn't have to be any bigger. That's the Gaon. The only problem is... Sorry?
I understand.
If you've got a column with 42 lines,
yes.
11 of those lines will be, the Aseres B'nei Haman. So you just write normally, and when you come to the Aseres B'nei Haman...
In between.
Well, it's not even at the, it'll be at the bottom or the top. Chabad do it at the top, like the Gaon originally held, and the Gaon actually held later on, do it at the bottom. Right? That was the way the Gaon held it should be done. It's clear, many Rishonim, that's Pshat in Yerushalmi. Nonetheless, the Piskei Tosfos definitely seem to understand the Yerushalmi to mean a column on its own. There are other Rishonim who hold like that, and because of that, and it's the Knesset HaGadolah, seems to hold that if you don't do it in its own column, it can actually be possible. So because of that, it has become the accepted practice, we do it in its own column. And unless you belong to Chabad, or somebody who has a Masorah to do it otherwise, today we don't have the right to go back to the way the Vilna Gaon did it. So we do have to make it in its own column. On the other hand, what about this problem? If you make it in its own column, the writing's going to have to be bigger. So what do? The answer is, we make 11 lines. You make the Megillah into an 11-line Megillah, and then you could do the Aseres B'nei Haman in their own column, because it's 11 lines, including the line of sort of the Ish and the Aseres. So it's 11 lines. You have 11 lines in its own column with normal size writing. And with that, l'chayra, we've now got a Mehudadik and Megillah according to all Shittas. Right? This idea is not a new idea. The 11 line of the Beis Ephraim, the Imre Shefer brings down such an idea. Sounds like the perfect solution. So what's the catch? The catch is like this. That a lot of the 11 liners which are sold on the market, again, I'm not going to be possible, but they're far, far from being Mehudah. Because if you do it like that, you have to realize that there is a halacha, that there's a certain size margin you have to leave at the top and the bottom. The Gemara discusses in the Sefer Torah, you're supposed to have three etzbois, three finger widths at the top margin, and at the bottom, four. That's in the Sefer Torah. So let's say for our purposes, we'll go with the Reb Chaim Noah. If you measure that by thumb widths, each etzba is 2 centimeters. So that will be 6 centimeters at the top, 8 centimeters at the bottom. Where do you measure that from is a point of machlokes. We won't go into that today. Right, do you measure it from the bottom of the letter, top of the letter? Do you measure it from the last sirtut? That's a point of contention. But that gives us an idea. 6 at the top, 8 at the bottom. In Nevi'im, for those who write, let's say write their Haftorahs on Klav, it's 2 etzbois at the top and 3 etzbois at the bottom. So it would be 4 centimeters and 6 centimeters. Now, even if you want to go with a shitter that holds, you don't have to measure it by thumb widths, you can measure it by smaller ones, it would still have to be, let's say each etzba would be 1.5, roughly 1.5 etzbois from Chaim Noah. So that would mean in Nevi'im, it would be 3 centimeters at the top and 4.5 centimeters at the bottom. Right, that's the way it would have to be. The Matthias is, if you look at many of the 11 line of Megillahs on the market, you don't even get that minimum shitter. You don't even get the 3 centimeters at the top and 4.5 centimeters at the bottom. Does that make it possible? No. But can you say it's Mehudah? Also not. Okay? But that's not, again, in the Lachat Chela, take a thing, fine, you can get over that. So now is it Mehudah? The answer is, well, that's a matter of debate. Even if I have my 3 or even 4 centimeters at the top and 6 centimeters at the bottom, although the Keser Sasofer goes with that, he says a Megillah follows Nevi'im. However, there are many, many shitters, starting from the Rishonim, who hold that a Sefer Torah has to, Megillas Esther follows a Sefer Torah. So in which case, now you need the margins to be 3 etzbois at the top and 4 etzbois at the bottom. Now if you truly want to make it Mehudah, you're going to measure that with thumb widths. And if you really want to go all the way out, you're going to do it by Chazon Ishiel. I'm really making this as a sort of to exasperate the problem as much as possible. You'll see what I mean. Now, if you go with that, 3 etzbois at the top is 7.2 centimeters. 2.4 centimeters is Chazon Ish. 4 etzbois at the bottom is 9.6. So altogether, that makes 16.8 centimeters. So what's the problem? So I'll do that. Right? No, here's the problem. Because there's a halacha that the writing on the Omud has to be more than the gaps at the top and the bottom combined. Now, if you look at a normal Sefer Torah, between one Sirtut, right, the line scored into the parchment, and the next, in a normal standard Sefer Torah, it's 7.5 millimeters or maybe 8 millimeters. If you've got very big writing, it'll be 1 centimeter. Over here, in order to fulfill that means 16.8 centimeters is just my margin. So I've got to divide 11 lines over some 17 centimeters. That means your writing is going to be over what is roughly 1.5 centimeters and upwards. That's already huge. That's massive writing. Much bigger than your standard Sefer Torah writing. But that's what Reb Chaim Kanievsky did. I've got a picture. You can look at it afterwards if you want. That's a picture of Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Sefer Torah. Obviously, if you just sort of get the idea here, that's the writing.
Sefer Torah Megillah.
Megillah. This is Megillah Sester. 11 lines. And look at this. Look at the margin at the bottom. The top is a bit, you can't see it properly. But the bottom, look at the size of the margin. It's huge. It looks very strange because you've probably never seen such a thing. You can't, the writing is what they call a jumbo Megillah. Okay, it's a jumbo Megillah. I must tell you, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, they managed to go even one better than him. Right, there's a shul in Yerushalayim which said, yeah, but he didn't get every single shitter because there's a shitter which holds that if you measure the margins from a different point, it has to be even bigger. Okay? So they managed to get a Megillah which is even more expensive, even bigger. Now, if you want to know what these sort of Megillahs go for, right, Reb Chaim Kanievsky probably, I would imagine somebody gave it to him as a matana, it's a kovitz for them, right? But you want to know what these Megillahs go for, just the cloth alone will cost you a good £1,000 or so. That's just the cloth before you even start writing. Generally speaking, these Megillahs go for $5,000, $10,000 easily. Because the cloth is very expensive, the writing is very difficult, because you're writing with a kolmus which has to be cut in a different way. It's huge, the writing is huge, most sofrim can't do it. And then, on top, if they make a mistake, it's a whole business to rub it out, to do mechicha. And then on top of that, because obviously it is, generally speaking, done by very, very talented sofrim, artistic, sort of, in terms of the artist side of it, so therefore it is automatically, the price is going to go all the way up. So, once you do this, once you get a Megillah like this, you think you're home and dry, okay? As I said to you, such a Megillah is taka very, very mehuda. But there's one point which you can't have everything. You have to pick it, you have to decide which nekudas am I going to be cheshish for and which ones are we going to have to just give up on. What you have to realize is, the reason why you're going for such big margins and things like that is because you are being cheshish for the shitter. The Rabbeinu Tam and the Sefer Torah, they hold that a Megillah is like a Sefer Torah. Once you say that a Megillah is supposed to be like a Sefer Torah, then it should also have a minimum of 42 or 48 lines. Because that is the halacha by a Sefer Torah. Again, it doesn't pass at it, but just like in our Sefer Torah, you've never heard of having an 11-liner Sefer Torah, so too in a Megillah, that's why if you go back, that seems to be the way they always did it. It was the Chasam Sefer, 42 lines. The Vilna Gaon, 42 lines. That was, in all probability, that's the way they had it. The 11-liner was only created in order to get around the problem of the Aseres B'nei Homer. So you're going to tell me, so if I go with a 42-liner, let's go to that side. What would I gain? First of all, it's, as I said, I'm just pointing out the two sides, okay? Today, the 11-liner is viewed as the most mehuda, but I believe there's a strong argument to say a 42-liner could be better. Number one, practically speaking, if you're a Baal Kora, you try and lane with a Megillah which is some 10 meters long or so. That's what these jumbo Megillahs are. Even just a standard 11-liner Megillah is over 5 meters long. But these are getting on for 10 meters long. To fold that and fold it and fold it, the Egeres is going to be very challenging. A 42-liner Megillah is just 10 columns. That's all it is. You get 42 lines. You get the full Sefer Torah margins. It looks completely normal. Okay, the looks are also something to take into account. And then on top, so the only problem you're left with is Aseres B'nei Homer. So the Beis Ephraim already points out, the Vilna Gaon never said you're not allowed to make the OCS bigger. That's not what the Vilna Gaon said. Because in terms of the problem, but why wasn't it recorded as an Osra Bossi? There's a very simple answer to that. An Osra Bossi means, in the course of writing, you're reading along, whoa, there's a big letter there. Ooh, that letter's small. When the whole column is big, that's not called an Osra Bossi. Okay, that's pointed out by many Akronim, the Beis Ephraim amongst them. What the Vilna Gaon was saying is the following. He was saying, I can prove to you that the Peshat of Yerushalmi is not that it has to have its own column. Because as far as I'm concerned, many Rishonim, and very possibly the Gaon went along with this, you have to have 42 lines like a Sefer Torah. So if you're going to tell me that the Aseres B'nei Haman have to have their own column, if they have to have their own column, then you have no choice but to make the writing bigger. So why was that never recorded? I'm not telling you you're not allowed to make the writing bigger. Look at his Loshen in Tov Kuf Sadi Aleph. He didn't say it's an Isser. Even Lachatzchil, he didn't say that. His point is the Beis Ephraim is that if you have to have your own column, unless you're going to have an 11-liner, which obviously the Gaon didn't contemplate, you're going to have to make the writing bigger. So therefore, based on this, you look at the Chayei Odom doesn't say to make it bigger like us, it's longer, just doesn't look as nice. But today, this is the accepted thing. The Shari Ephraim already writes it. That was always the accepted thing before they came up with the 11-liner. And that was the way they did it. They made the writing bigger.
In the Aseres B'nei Haman, you've also got Moshe Rabossi and the Zeira.
The Bayezosa and
right, so therefore that indicates what the standard size writing is by the fact that you've got one larger and one smaller.
Well,
that,
they're big, this is the standard size,
because I have one bigger,
and as I said, you can see that the Achronim, they answered that question. What did the Vilna Gaon? The Vilna Gaon didn't think of that. His point is, but why didn't anyone ever say that the writing has to be bigger there, or something like that? Or maybe he holds that is called Osir Avosi, but it's not recorded. No one's ever recorded such a thing. So, as I said, if the 11 line is done properly, it's got many advantages. If the 42 line is done properly, it's got its advantages as well. The last point I want to just touch on is the Aseres B'nei Haman. As you know, the Aseres B'nei Haman is, you have a gap between it. This is based on the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah says that the Aseres B'nei Haman is supposed to be written Oriach Al-Gabi Oriach, Leveno Al-Gabi Leveno. Now, the way Rashi learns that means an Oriach, based on the Gemara in Bava Basra, an Oriach is half a Leveno, the length of a brick. So a Leveno would be, let's say, 3 Tefachim. An Oriach would be, let's say, 1.5. So, therefore, what you would have is, the way Rashi is simply understood, is that the Oriach is the writing, and the Levena will be double it. The space in between will be double. So now, there's three different shittas how to interpret this. One shitta is, Rabbi Yashiv took on like this, is that it means you take the writing on both sides, so you take the longest name of one, so let's say Parashat Dosa, and the word for Ace, actually Aseres is the longest word on the other side, you combine them together, and you have to have double that in between. That's one option. Another option, another shitta, Nissim Karelitz went along with this, but already the Prima Godim seems to go with this, is it's double one side. So you take Parashan Dosa, you leave a gap, double Parashan Dosa, and then you write the word for Ace. There's a third shitta, which Be'emes, to my mind, would have been, definitely seems the most logical, in terms of Halacha, and that is that Rashi never meant double, he just meant bigger. Just the Oriach versus the Leveno, Leveno is bigger. Now, the biggest raya the arguments to go with that are, number one, as follows. I mean, the Minchas Yitzchok takes on its posh that this is what Be'et al-pi me'ekadin, this is what we should be doing. The reason being, number one, the mighty we don't pass in that Rashi anyway. Look at the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, many, probably Rav Rishonim don't go to that Rashi. They say, Oriach agabi Oriach, Leveno agabi Leveno just means you should have all the names on top of one another, that's the Leveno, and all of the aces on the other side on top of one another, like we have it in the Megillah. That's point number one. But not point number two is, even if you do want to go with Rashi, well, look at this week's Sedra. Anyone who goes up to the Sefer Torah, take out a Tikkun, well, the Sefer Torah is a better place to look. Look at the Shira. The Shira is supposed to be Oriach al-Gabi Leveino, Leveino al-Gabi Oriach. Look at the gap in between the writing. Is it double? Is anything double the other? It most definitely is not. You can't do that. So obviously we're not taking on like that. Look at the Shach. The Shach writes in Hilchei Sefer Torah, he says it just means bigger. The Shach already writes this. So therefore, the reason why I'm saying this is, if you look at all the Megillahs, you'll see Bederach Klal, they didn't have such a big space at all. Bichlal. This, again, if you want to see it closer up afterwards, you can. That is a picture of the Chazon Ish's Megillah. There's the Aseres B'nei Haman. Look at the gap between them. Right? It's definitely not double anything. Okay? And it is, you want to know what it is? It's the space of nine letters Yud. What we call a Shio Parasha. But it's not even a Shio Parasha when we talk about Psuch and Stumo, which Lachatzchila we do with big letters. Three times Asher. No. Nine Yud. Now why would the Chazon Ish have done that? And this, as I said, leads to the last point. As I said, it's you've got advantages in both directions. I'm not saying people should do like this, but it's a he'or. And that is because if you have Parashandosa, the ace, it just looks like two different columns. Once upon a time, when people like in the Vilna Gaon's Megillah or like Chabad do today, you wouldn't have this problem. Because it's all written in the same column. You can see it's part of one column, just with a gap in between. But when everything's written in one column like that, all you've got is the Aseres Bnei Haman. So you've got the names on one side, you've got a massive gap, and then the ace, the ace, the ace, the ace. It looks like two columns. So, as I said, you've got yesh for yesh. That's why it's not a matter of just saying, well, let's just make the gap as big as possible, and with that will be yotzi all shittas, you can't lose anything. I believe it's very possible that's why the Chazon Ish did it like that, because you don't want to make the gap any bigger than is necessary. To have less than nine letters, there is a serious shaila psul. That could be. Okay? Let me just conclude. So we've discussed today HaMelech Megillos. As I said, if it's done properly, it's a nice idea, but that is not the main hiddur at all. We've discussed the advantages of the 11-liner. If it's done properly, it's got a lot of hiddurim. Even just the standard 11-liner. If you've got a nice margin, a decent margin at the top, at the bottom, you'll fulfill those shittas which say 2 and 3 etzvois, that's fine. 42-liners also has its advantages. And then we've just discussed briefly this idea of the way that Aseres Bnei Haman is constructed. Let me just conclude. Today, many people, it's become, even amongst the Litvaks, it's become a popular minhag. People will do anything for Parnosa. This skula of reading Parshas Hamon, Shnai Mikovecho Targum on Tuesday or Parshas Peshalach. A skula, as I understand it, I'm not one who runs after skulas, but Bederach Kalal, I think a skula is to evoke a certain appreciation of whatever it is, and the tefillah becomes a different tefillah. So, Lamoshal, a kvata, is because when the kvata brings in the child, it brings out subconsciously, consciously, the realization that a child, the reason why we want children, we ask Hashem for children, is not just because we love children, it's because we want to make our avodah for you, Hashem. So what's it all about over here? This comes from the Rimmon of a Rebbe. What's this all about? So just very briefly, perhaps we could suggest the following. The Oriach al Gabi Leveno, the Shira is written Oriach al Gabi Leveno. Why? It's done like you lay bricks to give it stability. Why does this Shira, what's the stability, as opposed to Aseres Bnei Haman, the Malchi Kanaan, they all collapse. The Mitzrayim all drowns in the waters, but Klal Yisrael, they have stability. What's the secret? The answer is that Klal Yisrael went, Besuch Hayom Vayabosha. The Mitzrayim went, the Vilna Gaon says in Sefer Yonah, the sea, the water, is the turbulent waters of Olam Hazeh. The dry land is Olam Habo, that's our destination. The message HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving to Klal Yisrael is, look behind you, you see what Mitzrayim used to be. Once upon a time, just over about a year ago, they were the most powerful nation, empire in the world. The envy of everyone. And in the space of less than a year, they've been absolutely decimated. They've drowned in the waters of Olam Hazeh. But for you, Klal Yisrael, stop looking behind, look ahead towards Matan Torah. But what's Matan Torah all about? I have to live the life of a hermit, cut off from Olam Hazeh? But so Chayom, you can go in the waters of Olam Hazeh, enjoy Olam Hazeh. But Tu B'Shvat, enjoy the fruit. But as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, fruit, the Gemara says, it makes a person wise. You can learn better. Use the B'Seh Chayom B'Yabosha, that gives you that sense of stability. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Olam Hazeh, why? Zeh Keli Vandeh, because I want to use it to beautify you. I want to write with this beautiful cloth, I want to make a Sefer Torah for you. A beautiful menorah, this is the physical world, but I want to use it for your Avodah Hashem. The third day of creation was exactly that. Yikavu hamayim el mokum echod v'seiro e hayabosha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to the world, even in Olam Hazeh, the turbulent waters of Olam Hazeh, you can move the waters to the side and you can take the easy road by Yabosha. There is a Yabosha. It's only if the waters overstep their mark, you get a tsunami or something like that, then everything's drowned. Then you end up like the Mitzrayim. But if you take that Yabosha, B'Soch Hayom, you take that path throughout this world, then you are assured there will be stability. You'll have that sense of Kiyum with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Perhaps that's why Dafka, Parshas Peshalach, on Tuesday, the third day of creation, there's this skula of Parshas Hamon, which obviously we know all about Parshas Hamon, connected to Parnosa and a life of Torah. And therefore that evokes within us that feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give us the parnasa, especially in the difficult times people are going through now. We ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for an easy parnasa, but why? So that we can sit, learn, and serve you, and Be'ezus Hashem, ultimately, Zeh Keli Vanveyu, to come back and build for you the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, your Noveh, your Beis HaMikdash, your abode in this world.